The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, working with the world's leading broadcasters and equipment suppliers to transform industry standard technologies and workflows.
Coming up this week, Boom, a new radio brand from the people who brought us Heart, Magic, Free Radio and programmed other big stations, including Galaxy, LBC and many more. Phil Riley and David Lloyd will be on the podcast in a little while to tell us about their plans for Boom Radio UK. It'll be on DAB from early next year and says it's the first dedicated radio station aimed at the baby boomer generation.
Original music for this podcast was composed by
Mikasa. Yeah, you're going to enjoy listening to Phil and David in a little while. First, Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin, as always, to start the podcast with a look at the week's news in radio. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Stu. So you failed already because I was expecting a kind of Nick Ferrari kind of intro where you ask me a question and then say, good morning. Sorry, I've just
I put it to you that you're an idiot. Oh, hello, Roy.
What do you mean? He doesn't say that, does he, surely? Anyway, pleasantries. Yes, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right. We've got a few things to talk about. It's been a fairly busy week of radio stuff, hasn't it? We're getting nearer Christmas, though, so it's going to quieten down, I think, maybe.
Let's hope so. I'd like some time off, if at all possible, over Christmas. But boom, what a week in radio. Yeah, it's been very busy, hasn't it?
I see what you did there. We'll come to that in a minute. The weekend then, there was this bit of interesting radio on Radio London. Callers try to get onto the radio quite often, trying to say rude things. Usually there's a delay and it can get dumped and it doesn't make it to air, or you've got a presenter or a producer who cuts the call off and says, no, we're not having you on. But BBC Radio London, that didn't happen.
Yeah, we have to be careful what we say, because the BBC have told us that it's now a police matter and the police are investigating this. So we can't really say much about it other than, why the hell don't they use a dump button these days?
Well, quite. David Lloyd's blog is worth a read on this matter, and in terms of how things could be better handled in terms of presenters taking calls and stuff like that. So that is worth a read. I don't think there is a lot more that we can say really about it or that we want to say, but you get idiots who try and prank radio stations and trying to make it on the air. The word is that this caller has made it onto air on other radio stations on the BBC as well. So hopefully now they've spotted it. It won't let him back on. But as you say, it's quite rightly been referred to the police, because if somebody has done this deliberately to try and speak bad words on air, then that should be investigated properly.
Exactly. And Sonny obviously wasn't paying attention, or obviously was interrupted. Maybe he had some talk back in his ears or something like that. We don't know the full story.
Or just generally couldn't hear or didn't understand what the caller was trying to say, which is a possibility as well.
Yeah, I mean, the pressures of live broadcasting like that, obviously these guys have been doing it a while now, but the pressures of being in there, yeah, anything could have just distracted him for a couple of seconds. And we were obviously listening for it because it's a clip and we're expecting something, but during your show you don't think it's coming, do you? You just expect to have a normal show, not one that could possibly change your career by some prankster calling up and saying stupid things on the radio. So
putting on silly accents, I think a few people have said there, but by the grace of God go I, you know, it can quite easily happen, even if you're an experienced broadcaster, that you miss something. And the classic case from quite a long time ago is Tommy Boyd, who put a caller on the air and thought, this sounds like a normal conversation, it's fine, I'll get on with just checking these emails and doing this while I'm listening to that one ear. Zoned out, didn't hear what he said. The caller finished speaking. He said, yeah, well, obviously we can't agree with everything that you say, but thanks for your call. It turned out later he'd said some very offensive, rude things, and Tommy ended up getting sacked. So it's possible to happen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Just goes to show, listen to every single word that these callers are saying, because you have one job, kind of thing, when you're talking to somebody on the radio. And I don't call for him to be sacked, like many people have said on the socials, on that horrible Twitter thing. He made a mistake and he said sorry, and that should hopefully be the end of it.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a full investigation, not only by the BBC, but by the police as well. So we'll follow that one and keep you posted if there are things that we can report. Let's move on to something a bit more geeky, and that's the small-scale DAB multiplexes that are getting ever closer. A milestone this week as the deadline passed for applications for Phase 1. It all sounds very exciting.
Yeah, this is very exciting. It's becoming a major thing, especially when, I'm not saying that major radio executives haven't been involved so far, but when you get David Lloyd and Phil Riley putting up substantial amounts of money to start a radio station on these platforms, then you know it's going to be a big thing. And obviously we'll hear about that during the course of this podcast. But yeah, the first round, there's 25 areas. There's probably going to be a couple for each area, so that's 50 applications potentially more. Full of radio people, professionals, full of experience, and it's going to be quite exciting. I'm looking forward to reading the full list of these applications. They should be out. Well, it's Ofcom, so it could be days, could be weeks, could be out already. Who knows? But we'll pop it on radio today when they do.
Yeah, so a few have told us about them already about their applications, but we're still waiting for the full list from Ofcom.
And it's quite an interesting thing, all these new radio stations being proposed, because regulation has changed the industry so much for local radio, especially. A whole new industry is emerging because of that regulation. And I think local radio, as it used to be, is probably on its way back, even more local radio, like your station and many other stations serving a couple of towns. So it's very exciting.
It is. And at the same time, we get these kind of quasi-national stations that are going to go on multiple small-scale multiplexes around big cities, Boom Radio being one of those. And Phil and David will tell us a bit more about that soon. But, you know, a new national, in inverted commas, radio station that's going to launch on lots of different multiplexes. I think Tuesday morning there was a story in the Times about it, and they talked about it on Radio 4 Today programme doing their newspaper review. So, you know, it's new exciting stations that are offering something different with experience behind them can cut through in this complicated market we're working in.
Yeah, and Boom sounds like a radio station I would listen to, even though...
Oh, really?
I'm not a baby boomer. It does. It's got good programming plans, and it's got some good music, 60s, 70s, even some 50s, you know. I do like a bit of 50s, it has to be said. So I might even tune in and listen more than once.
Who are you going to be listening to next year on a Saturday morning? Graham Norton on Virgin or Claudia Winkleman on Radio 2? Or none of the above?
Well, I never listened to the radio in a way, so...
Whatever.
I won't be listening to any of them.
Exclusive there from the editor of Radio Today.
I hardly listen to the radio. I mean, I do when it's something newsworthy, obviously, but just in the background. We always have Smooth on, which isn't really, radio. It's just background music, isn't it?
Hi, Ashley. Smooth Radio isn't really radio.
Yeah, I know. No, you know what I mean. It's not speech radio or entertaining radio by any stretch of the imagination. It's a perfect station for eating your dinner to. So, yeah, I don't really go out and listen to personality presenters that much.
Well, anyway.
So to answer your question, neither. Who will you be listening to is the question.
I'll probably listen to neither of them on a Saturday morning. I'll probably listen to Alex Can on Rumbold's radio on a Saturday morning, but there we go. Claudia Winkleman is going to replace Graham Norton on Radio 2 then, and we got lots of comments on our Facebook page about that. We had to ban some people and hide some comments and block people because people are just idiots. If you don't want to say anything nice, if you don't like somebody who's been announced for a radio show, don't listen to the radio show. Don't tell everybody else that you hate her and you think she's rubbish. Doesn't matter. Just keep that opinion to yourself.
Not necessary. We don't have a comments section, Stuart, so I don't know what you're talking about there.
No. Facebook, I said. On Facebook, I didn't mention the Radio Today comments.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, it's just there's some confusion over whether Radio Today has a comments page or not, and we don't. It's all on Facebook, isn't it?
Yes. Jordan on I'm a Celebrity. Have you been watching any of that? I've been quite getting into it. Jordan and Victoria Derbyshire on there and Vernon.
I watched the first few nights, so pretty much Jordan's first few challenges. I've not watched it since. Has he done any more since his first three?
Well, he's not been doing the challenges, but he's been made camp leader, and he's been getting quite a lot of airtime. Yeah, little Jordan. I think he's going to be a bit of a superstar when he comes out. And it's all kicked off with the Happy Place Turf Moor stuff, Burnley Football Club, and the charity in the area making loads of money from T-shirts that they're selling. So I think he's going to be a big star when he comes out. Well, he already is a big star, but, you know.
It was a radio star. Did you see the clip on, I think it was ITV News or BBC News, about the guy stood outside Turf Moor asking the guy going past in his wheelchair if he was happy? That was hilarious, because his response was very Burnley.
Yeah. Of course I'm not bloody happy. Pubs are shut. What do you expect?
It was you.
No, it wasn't me. No, no.
No, no. It just sounds like you. Sorry.
Yeah, all right. Thanks. How very dare you accuse me of having a Lancashire accent. I think Jordan's doing very, very well indeed. And I think, he's going to be inundated with offers when he comes out. And if Radio 1 don't move him from the weekends to the weekdays fairly soon, there'll be something amiss.
I don't know why they call it West Yorkshire, because it's just East Lancashire, isn't it, really? Just an extension of East Lancashire. Oh, no, let's not go there again.
Let's definitely not go there again. Geography and Roy Martin, they don't mix. I think you must have been playing truant from school that day. This is a headline. I don't always read the stories that you post on Radio Today. I sometimes just glance at the headline and think, oh, that's interesting.
How rude.
And I've written it down. We're going back in time. And, it's like you not listening to the radio. I don't really read your stories. But this one caught my eye. Hits Radio is taking part in a Christmas Eve jingle campaign. What's this about? It sounds like my kind of thing.
Yeah, so Hits Radio has teamed up with the Jingle Mad Radio station to make a national campaign to play an hour of non-stop jingles on Christmas Eve. And all the jingles will be a mixture of Jam, TM, Real World, Wise Buddha, and some Thompson Creative as well. Or they basically want people to jingle their jangles on their doorstep at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, buy a bell so they can jangle it outside. That'd be quite magical, actually, if you go outside at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve looking for the big man in the sky, and all you hear around you is sleigh bells or bells.
Or jam cuts.
Hell's bells. Or jam cuts, the odd jam cut. Then that'd be quite exciting. Did that answer your question?
Yes, okay. So it's nothing to do with jingles, essentially. Is that what you're telling me? I won't bother reading it then.
Yeah. More details at radiotoday.co.uk, #jingleman.
Where you will also find information about this week's Audio Production Awards. Depending on when you listen to this podcast, the Audio Production Awards will be either about to happen or will have happened. And if they have already happened, you can see all the winners at radiotoday.co.uk. And I'm sure it was a great night.
Oh, it was one of my favourite. Especially when they awarded the category that was sponsored by Radio Today.
Oh, really?
That was a fantastic one, yeah. That was good. Looking forward to seeing that last week.
Right. Let's get the main event on, because Phil and David talk a lot more sense than we do. You and I will be back next week with another guest. I don't know who the guest is next week. I've got some others lined up for the first couple of weeks of December, but nothing booked for next week yet, so we'll see what life throws at us.
Well, okay. Yeah, no, I was going to say something then, but it's I can't tell you because it's a secret.
Oh.
But maybe by next time, this time next week, we'll be able to reveal all.
Oh, that's
it. Or we'll just never mention it again.
Sounds exciting. Oh, and we do plan this, but I have genuinely no idea what you're talking about there. So I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Actually, we have to do something before we go, because we forgot for the last couple of weeks. We have to pick a winner for who's winning Pat.
Oh, yeah, we had a book to give away. Yeah, I remember that.
We did. We had the entries, didn't we? We had them. We did the prep work for it, as in we got all the entries together on a note. And we just needed to, pick a number between one and... How many were there? Six?
500 entries.
Yeah.
It was on lucky line
97.
Number... Yeah. Yeah.
So, have you got the list of people there?
No.
Okay, well, let's say number four. Whoever is number four on the list, this sounds very genuine, doesn't it? Then they will win and we'll announce it on Twitter. Or we could just pause this, come back and announce the winner. Should we do that?
Okay, I'll find the list. Stay there.
Thanks for holding. You are a valued Radio Today programme listener. We'll be back with you as soon as we can. Tired of waiting already? Check out more of our stories at radiotoday.co.uk.
Oh, there we go. Thanks for holding. The fourth one down, we've worked it out. It was Becky Lewis-Jones, who is in Bristol. She's at Cruel Feathers on Twitter.
Oh, and where does Becky work? Do we know? Does she work in radio or just a big
sure,
Pat fan?
Actually, she says she'd like to win Pat because her husband would love it for Christmas and she's a cheapskate.
Oh, well then, two birds, one stone and all that. There's a Christmas present on its way.
Well done, Becky. And thanks to you for listening. And unlucky if you didn't win our competition. We might have another one in another 7 years. Who knows?
Thanks, Stu. Pleasantries out.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
This is the Radio Today programme, and I'm delighted to welcome a couple of old friends to the podcast this week. Old being the operative word, because we're going to talk about a new radio station aimed at the over 55s launching next year. It's Phil Riley and David Lloyd. Welcome to the podcast, chaps.
Hi, Stuart.
Hello.
So people probably saw this on Radio Today earlier in the week. An exciting new radio station coming in 2021 called Boom Radio. Tell us, Phil, where this idea came from.
Well, it was David's idea, so he carries the entire can for it. Now, we were talking to each other, usual email backwards and forwards over the summer, and David just floated almost a throwaway line at the end of an email. He said, I still think there's a gap in the market for a station aimed at older listeners. And I just pinged him an email back and said, are you really serious about that? And he said, yeah. So I said, well, I'll do a spreadsheet. So I drew a spreadsheet. And the rest is history, really. The spreadsheet didn't turn out a terribly, big negative number, which was unusual for some of my spreadsheets. So I said to him, actually, there might be something in this. So, and that was, say, mid-July when we started talking seriously about it. And here we are, 4 or 5 months later, actually having announced it.
Well, we'll talk about the costs in a bit, because obviously setting up a radio station now is quite different to setting one up in the 90s. David, this idea then, I know some of your blogs, people who regularly read them will know that you've been talking about BBC Local Radio's audience demographic changing and what Radio 2 is doing, going younger. So this is where you've spotted this gap from your consultancy and your observation of the market.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear, isn't it, from listening in that the BBC has a strategy. And frankly, if I were working there, I'd probably be doing much the same as they are. They've got some fine radio stations. Radio 2 is a different sort of Radio 2 from how it was. And it's left an audience which maybe don't love it as much as the audience used to. You listen to some of the songs that Zoe's playing in the morning, and you think, actually, this probably isn't chiming too well for people who are not old. They just dare to be 60. So, we think there's a market. And similarly with BBC Local Radio, again, despite their protestations that they've not moved younger, they clearly have, and that's fine, leaving again a hole for a radio station that plays, a blend of oldies, some complimentary new stuff, and has got some companionable, friendly, familiar voices between the songs.
I think the other element to this is, of course, those radio stations do appeal to people over the age of 60, but not exclusively. And I think that's where what we're trying to do does find a niche, in that we really do only want to serve the people who are baby boomers, and particularly the 60 to 75s. We're just not interested in people younger than that particularly. And I think that's where those radio stations who've got a broader demographic that they're regulatorily required to serve would find it more of a challenge.
Yeah, and there will be people listening in the industry who say that clearly there are brands like Smooth and Planet Rock, Gold and Greatest Hits in commercial radio that are picking up some older listeners.
But Stuart, absolutely none of those radio stations, if you sat down with their program controllers and you asked them who is the target listener for your service, none of them would say somebody who is 68 years old. None of them. That's the difference. We are saying that. We are saying we're just not interested in people who are in their 40s or early 50s. They've got plenty of other choices. Somebody who's 68 hasn't got something that's really, really, really aimed at them.
I think the other thing is that, a lot of those radio stations are incredibly well programmed. When you take the genre station, Heart Haters, whatever, really well programmed, Greatest Hits, some great radio stations. But they are, particular stations doing a particular thing rather than a mainstream mix for somebody who happens to be over 60. We're not about being nostalgic all the time. We'll play some old stuff and some new stuff, but we treat our listeners as being being vibrant, hungry for life individuals. We did some focus groups, and one of the lovely quotes I remember is from someone who said, do you know what really annoys me? She says, when you fill in a form for some research or whatever, and he says, how old are you? And it's got like 18 to 24. So, and then the last one is 55 plus. Yeah, you know, as if, you know, that's it. If you're over 55, that's it. You're just old.
Yeah, and I think there's an interesting point in Matt Deegan's blog this week. He said that your station would need to be contemporary in voice and attitude. And I suppose there is a danger, isn't there, that if you're targeting at an older demographic, you have presenters and styles of presentation and music like radio used to be in the good old ILR days. But actually, people don't want to be treated like we're harping back to the past.
No, they don't.
No, it's like I always say, when you bump into an old friend, you know, you probably have a glass of wine and talk about the olden days, but you also talk about COVID and Brexit and the price of fish, don't you? Nostalgia has a place in your life, but it's not all your life. And that's the blend we're trying to get on air. And I'm saying to some of these people who've been on the air donkey's years, just be yourself. You know, my conversation series, I sometimes have a conversation with a seasoned broadcaster and I think to myself, do you know, the radio audience has never really heard you at your authentic best yet. And that's how I hope to get them.
And Matt's point was really valid. I think you need to have a contemporary feel. I mean, when you look at the launch video that we put out, the logo, hopefully you can see in that a mix between references to the things that people are in our target audience understand and know about, but done in a way which feels modern and contemporary. It doesn't feel as though it's, you know, rooted in nostalgia particularly, because that's obviously not what we want to do. But for sure, we're going to be playing a lot of, you know, older, more familiar material on the station. Of course we are. We're aiming at people in their 60s and early 70s.
I was interested to note as well that it isn't just necessarily a music station. You're looking at some built programming around it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got some individuals we're working with who will provide some rather interesting programmes. I wish I could tell you about one of them because I was so excited about it, but I'm not going to.
You can tell us. We won't tell anyone.
It will be, you know, large. It's a music radio station, you know, presented will have a higher profile in the mix than on many excellent music stations, but you know, there will be the occasional half hour thing.
Talk to me about the name, Phil, Boom Radio. When I asked my dad, I said, if there was a radio, and he's in your target demo,
right.
he's 64, and I said, if there was a radio station that appeared on your DAB radio called Boom, what would you think it would be? And his first response was loud dance music.
Yeah. So yeah, I can you know, understand that, and I think we'll have to disabuse him of that. Although, you know, we might be a bit loud from time to time. You know, just because we're aimed at people in their 60s and 70s doesn't mean to say they're all going to be full of life. I mean, I think the name is, I would argue, perfect for what we're trying to do, because not only does it capture the whole baby boomer era, it does say something, I think, about wanting to still live your life and wanting it to be exciting and wanting vibrant things to go on. And we think that is something that's very, very relevant to the audience that we're trying to get to. It also happens to be really short, single syllable, easy to remember, hopefully easy to spot. And all of those things matter when you are, you know, competing in a very, very crowded radio marketplace.
And I suppose the other point to make is he did say he would flick around and listen to 10, 15 seconds to see what it was like, not just base it on the name on his DAB radio. So, you know, there's the advantage there.
We are, by the way, we are embracing the whole OK Boomer thing. We do think that boomers have been given a bit of a hard time over the past 4 or 5 years and unduly and unfairly given a hard time. And actually, we're quite proud to be baby boomers, and we think it's quite useful to embrace that. And we don't care if we stir up a bit of controversy in doing it, because there are people out there that do seem to think that baby boomers are the personification of evil. I'm not quite sure why, but they do.
And you both launched radio stations in the past. Some of those have done very well and gone on to make lots of money and be sold and doing very well for themselves now, thank you very much. But setting up a radio station in 2020, 2021 is quite a different beast, certainly in terms of what your cost base needs to be. You don't need a building anymore. You don't need massive transmission costs. You can do this perhaps a little bit cheaper than when you've set up radio stations before, Phil.
Well, this is certainly a different model to the one that you might see inside a corporate structure. And you're certainly right that some of the things are dramatically changed in terms of their cost, but it's still pretty expensive to go and buy some DAB slots in the big market, London in particular, which was where we'll be launching in early part of next year. So it's not cost-free to launch a radio station, and you know there are things that you have to spend money on, but you're absolutely right that that big infrastructure cost of setting up a set of studios and a building and all of the stuff that goes with that, that is something that you can do differently. And we've certainly taken the view that if we're going to start in the middle of a pandemic, let's build the radio station in a way that's sustainable, both when we're in this particular environment and when hopefully we come out of it next year and go back to boom times, which is what we're all hoping.
And people knowing that you two are involved in this will probably want to work for you. Are you hiring? Have you got all that sorted yet? Or do people need to be knocking on your door if they're looking for jobs, that sort of thing?
We've got most of the, it's incredible, isn't it? We've got most of the lineup sorted. And the great thing is, as soon as I pick up the phone to people, they say, wow, I'd love to be part of that. So it's been a lot easier than I had imagined. There are still some holes to fill, and we'll be juggling things around. But you can imagine my inbox yesterday, after your wonderful piece on the Find Radio Today, you know, it has just gone crazy. So I don't think we're going to be short of recruits.
Oh, I thought we could maybe get Phil Riley and David Lloyd back on the air.
I'm doing a show.
I've been bumped off the schedule, Stuart. I was in there for mid-mornings on Sundays, and suddenly I'm nowhere.
Phil was going to do a money show. Phil was going to do a money... In fact, you might still do that.
We might still have that. We'll be making some announcements in terms of commercial appointments in the not-too-distant future, maybe next week or two. So there are other things going on, obviously, on the other side of the ledger that we're doing too.
And obviously you're taking on staff as presenters and production staff and sales staff, that kind of thing. So you've obviously got some money to do this. You're no strangers to raising funds to launch projects, as you did with Orion, but you've got some funding for this, Phil?
Yeah, interestingly, a different model here. I mean, obviously with the Orion deal, that was a big deal. You were buying an existing business with revenues and cash flow and profits, so you had to go and be backed by a corporate backer, and that was the great private equity guys at LDC in Birmingham who did that, which was fantastic. This is different because it's a startup. You can afford to take your first steps in a different way. And what we've just done is to pick up the phone essentially to our mates, our media friends, colleagues, people we know who we think might be interested. And we've ended up with, you know, a very decent pot of equity cash invested in what they, like we think, is a great business. Now, that's not to say that we might not have a desire to go out and raise some more money in the future to go and, you know, really accelerate things if that's what we think is the right thing to do. But for now, we've probably got about 20 shareholders on board, all of whom have invested in a personal capacity. It's actually a fantastic sounding board of very, very experienced, intelligent people who are in the media business, ad agencies, TV, radio, production, etc.
And David, the sheer number of radio stations on the dial, if you like, these days, as well as Fire smart speakers, is enormous. The choice for people to listen to. So one important thing these days, launching a new radio station, is about how you cut through all that noise and how and where you market.
Absolutely. And as Phil said, the name is great, isn't it? When you hear the name, you don't easily forget it. And that's the great step forward. We do have a marketing budget. We're also going to be working with other media partners as well, because as you say, you know, it's very easy to set up a radio station. Actually making sure people know about it and sample it is you know, rather like launching a podcast. You know, that's actually where the battle is fought. And Phil, with all these many qualifications in the field and having launched many radio brands, you know, I think we're pretty well equipped to make a noise. You know, are we going to be bursting out with a campaign on ITV? No, but I think we have a budget which we can spend cannily and find the audience. And the great thing is, I mean, even judging by the energy of the response in the last 24 hours, I think there's an open door there ready to be pushed.
And the timing of your announcement, I guess, Phil, there's no surprise that this is the week all the DAB applications for the first round of small scale are in. So presumably you're named on some of those, which is why you've gone public with it this week.
We should be named on quite a few of them. In fact, we've put three bids in ourselves.
Oh, wow.
Just to show willing. I mean, I know there will be lots of bids for each one of those, and it would be great if we won one or two of the three that we've put in. But we did it to show willing to support what I think is a very exciting new era for DAB. As you know, I was the original chairman of the regional muxes that covered most of England and Wales inside MXR. Then I led a bid for the national DAB multiplex. I've been, you know, bidding for DAB for feels like 20 years. So it feels right that we should crack on and have a go at these new small-scale DAB. Although I have to say, if you look at the potential population coverage and the fact that there are, in most of the major markets, there are two or three of them, they become really city DAB, is the way I've sold it to people that we've talked to. Because if you can get on the three that are in Birmingham or the two in Newcastle or the one in Leeds, etc., actually you're covering most of a city. And that's quite attractive, I think. So that's a very interesting and new way that I think we will expand. And we're already on some of the experimental multiplexes. As you know, we're going to be on in Bristol and Birmingham and Glasgow. And hopefully, as these small scales come on, and if we can get on most of them, that will be, you know, a pretty decent expansion beyond our initial base in London.
I guess the economics of it suggest that because there are going to be so many, if you went on every single one of the small scale multiplexes once they're all launched, it gets to a point where it's perhaps cheaper to go on a national multiplex, doesn't it?
There's a trade-off, and I think at some point we will have to have a look at, you know, where the best use of our money is. But actually, the small-scale DAB numbers are pretty cost-effective, as are the numbers for being in London, actually, because London's such a big market. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense for us, at least now, to expand incrementally. If you want to launch on the one of the national multiplexes, you've got to have pretty deep pockets. It's probably beyond private investors of the sort that we have backing us. So I think we've done the right thing. Whether in 2 or 3 years' time we want to take another look at that, I've no doubt we will.
And I suppose the last thing is about the tech. You talked about not necessarily having studios and working remotely from people's homes like has been happening during the pandemic. The kind of broadcasters you're talking about, the people who used to be on the radio in the 60s and 70s, can they do that tech on their own, in their own home, David?
It's dead easy now, isn't it? I mean, isn't voice tracking wonderful? You know, many of us grew up when it didn't exist and were very cynical about how can you do a real radio program if you're not sat in a studio and listening to the records. But actually, once you have mastered what is a new skill, a new art, you can make beautiful radio. And it's also increasingly simple, isn't it? It's not complicated to press a couple of keys on a keyboard. It's easy. And, you know, certainly the people we've been talking to, many of them are doing a bit of it already now or are hungry to learn new things, exactly like our audience is still hungry to learn new things.
Stuart, you've got me on here in pretty decent quality. I'm an absolute klutz at this. So if I can do it, many of the people that David and I have known for 40 years can do it too, I'm sure.
Super. Well, we're looking forward to hearing more about these announcements of people you got on board, because it does sound very exciting, and we wish you lots of luck with it when it finally gets on the air early next year.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you, Phil and David. Great to have David Lloyd back on this podcast as well as a one-off. Just before we go, a reminder about Clean Feed. It's great for doing things in the run-up to Christmas, especially if you're still under lockdown. It's a great way to connect with guests for your show or podcast in superb quality just using a browser. And you can also get connected back to the studio from home, etc., etc. It's great for OBs and much, much more. Clean Feed's been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really simple to use and the quality is great. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll only take you a few minutes to get signed up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first recording or live bit for your radio station. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macasso.